ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. సహనావవతు సహనౌ భునక్తు సహ వీర్యం కరవావహై తేజస్వినావధీతమస్తు మా విద్విషావహై. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. బిఫోర్ స్టార్టింగ్ this series of webinars on Tattva Bodha, I want to submit my Sashtanga Namaskarams at the lotus feet of my Guru, the Jagadguru Shankaracharya Shri Shri Bharati Tirtha Mahaswamiji of Shri Sringeri Sharada Peetam, and also my prostrations to Shri Paramacharya of Shri Kanji Kamakoti Peetam, Swami Chinmayananda, Swami Dayananda, and Swami Paramarthananda, whose lectures, discussions, and writings have enabled me to learn something that I can share with you all today. Adi Shankaracharya's works can be generally classified into three categories. The first one is Bhashya Granthas, that is commentaries. And the second one is called Prakarana Granthas, which deal with the fundamental aspects of Vedanta, and also Stotra Granthas, which are hymns in praise of various deities, devatas. And because of the very large number of commentaries that the Acharya had written, particularly on the Brahma Sutras, 12 major Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita, and so many other texts, he is more known as Bhashyakara, a commentator. And we need these commentaries to understand the scriptures, because whatever is portrayed in the Upanishads, many of them are so subtle and so mystic that we may not be able to understand them just by a mere knowledge of Sanskrit language or having a dictionary with us. For example, if you take these words, Purnamada, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachyate, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnameva, Avasishyate. This is a particular verse. And this verse says, that is whole, this is whole. From the whole becomes manifest. From the whole, when the whole is taken out, what remains is the whole. This is what this particular verse means, which will make no sense to us. And that is the reason we need the help of commentators who will explain to us what this verse would mean. But these verses from the Upanishads, from the Brahma Sutras and the Bhagavad Gita, many of those things are not only so cryptic. The explanation of these verses require deeper Vedanta, and the Vedanta itself has got so many terms in them and concepts that require themselves separate explanations. And with that idea in mind, the Adi Acharya wrote so many Prakarana Granthas. These are all, as I told, these are all texts which explain the fundamental aspects of Vedanta. For example, Viveka Chudamani is one, Atma Bodha, Tattva Bodha, there are so many texts like that. And for our discussions, we are planning to take only Tattva Bodha, because it is brief and concise, unlike Viveka Chudamani, which is very elaborate and long. So we are going to spend time in understanding the basic concepts of Vedanta through Tattva Bodha. That is why I called these lectures as Vedantic Primer. They are like prerequisites for people to understand Vedanta. And the Acharya, in his infinite compassion, he did not just stop with the commentaries and also the Prakarana Granthas. He also wrote lot of Stotra Granthas on Bhakti. There are so many verses, Ganesha Pancharatnam, Meenakshi Pancharatnam, Ganga Ashtakam. There are so many of these Stotra Granthas for the sake of common people, so that they may be able to foster Bhakti. And then through that path, one may be able to get even the highest goal in life, namely Moksha. by getting Chitta Shuddhi, purity of the mind, Chitta Ekagrata, one-pointed attention of the mind, focus of the mind, and they can go further through Jnana Marga and finally attain Moksha also. And with this in mind, the Acharya wrote so many Bhakti Granthas. Now, when we go to the commentaries of the Acharya itself, there are about 18 commentaries on various Granthas, like the Brahma Sutras and the Upanishads, etc. And there are about 30 and odd, nearly about, I think, 23 commentaries on 23 works on the Prakarana Granthas, and about 72 or so on the Stotra Granthas. So these are all various works of the Acharya within a short span of time, but they have enabled us to understand the deeper meanings of what is portrayed in the Upanishads and the Gita and Brahma Sutras, etc. Now, for example, when we want to talk about Tattva Bodha, just to understand in the context of what we want to discuss here, now let us go through a few analyses. For example, in the pursuit of life, for example, for any being, any person, the pursuits can be very varied, but all the pursuits of any person, they all have a common thread, and that thread is just to gain sukham or happiness, and also to remove dukkham or sorrow. That is why there is this particular saying, sarve praninaha sukha praptaye dukkha nivrittiye cha pravartante. Sarve praninaha, all beings, sukha praptaye, for gaining sukham or happiness, dukkha nivrittiye cha, for the removal of sorrow or dukkham, they all strive. That is the common thread for all people, regardless of the pursuit they are taking. So they all want only sukham. Kevalam sukham is what they want. And that sukham also should be such that it should not be associated with any dukkham at all. So it should be dukkham free sukham. And that sukham also should be eternal sukham. They want it for all the time. It is not something they want it temporarily for some time and then go to again sorrow or anything. They want nitya sukham, and they also want that sukham in infinite amount. That is called niradishaya sukham. So every being wants kevalam sukham, only sukham, only happiness, which is eternal, nitya sukham, and which is also infinite sukham. So kevalam, nitya, niradishaya sukham, that is the goal of every being. This is a common thread binding all. And now, when we look at this particular thing, then we understand that this is something that is not that easily attainable. Because we have to now go through an analysis of the properties generally of anything that is there in the system. There are some properties which are intrinsic, which are internal, and some properties which are external. Some properties are permanent, or some properties which are borrowed. We call them ephemeral or impermanent properties. For example, if you take water, the intrinsic part property of water is to be cold. That we can even call it as the dharma of water. And if we take heat or fire, the intrinsic property of fire is to be hot. That is the dharma of fire. Now, if we take water in a vessel and then try to heat it with a flame, the flame transfers its heat to the vessel and in turn to the water, and the water becomes hot. And once the flame is removed after some time, the water loses its hotness and becomes cold again. So the heat in the water is not its intrinsic property, it is a borrowed property from the heat of the flame. Whereas the intrinsic property of water is to be cold. So the property of water to be hot is a dependent property, it is not an independent property, it is not intrinsic to the water, it is only ephemeral property which will go away once the heat is removed from the water. So to get this, in this particular analogy, we understand that there is nothing like a permanent sukham because all the sukhams, the happiness that we really describe in day-to-day world are all dependent on some external condition or the other. If that condition is removed, like the heat of the flame is removed, then that sukham might vanish. That might disappear after some time. So they are all only temporary happiness, and they cannot be permanent happiness at all, because that happiness is only borrowed based on the external condition or the external environment. So to get sukham on a permanent basis, that is kevalam sukham, nitya sukham, niradishaya sukham, using any of these external means seems to be even a misnomer. For example, we used to have a Western philosopher called Bertrand Russell. He wrote a book called Is Happiness Still Possible? So that happiness, which is describing these three conditions, namely kevalam sukham, nitya sukham, niradishaya sukham, that happiness, is it ever possible? So that looks even a misnomer. And that is where we need the help of Vedanta to understand if such a sukham has to be experienced. If a person has to gain such a sukham, what does that mean? To understand that, we need the help of Vedanta, and that is where we get into Vedanta. And Tattva Bodha is a text which gives us various terms and concepts that are used in Vedanta, without understanding which it will be very difficult for us to really comprehend what is portrayed either in the Upanishads or in the Brahma Sutras or the Bhagavad Gita in the real Vedantic spirit. And that is the reason Adi Shankara wrote this Prakarana Granthas, and that is why we are starting these lectures also on the Prakarana Granthas with Tattva Bodha as a prime example. And this Tattva Bodha as a text, this also starts with a Mangala Shloka. Mangala Shloka, any undertaking, for example, whatever we want to pursue, that gives result based on two factors. One factor is our own effort. We call it prayatnam. It could be, you know, we should put the best effort possible, the best effort possible to make a sincere effort. And the second factor is the devam factor. We can call it luck, we can call it good, bad, all that thing, whatever one may want to say. So the prayatnam is our effort, and the devam factor is the one that will enable our effort to go to fruition. So the Acharya, when he wants to write this Tattva Bodha text, he wants to pray to Lord Vasudeva so that without any obstacle, he will be able to fulfill this text. He will be able to write it. Not only he will be able to write it, whatever is the intent with which he wants to write this, he wants to also communicate to the readers, to the students. So he is writing a Dhyana Sloka. So this is called Vigna Pariharartham Mangalam Slokaha. So for any Mangala Sloka is for Vigna Pariharartham, for not getting any obstacles in the pursuit of this particular job of writing this book and also communicating this knowledge of Vedanta, Vedantic concepts to the students. So the Mangala Shloka we can read now. Vasudevendra Yogendram Natva Jnana Pradam Gurum Mumukshunam Hidarthaya Tattva Bodha Abhidhiyate. Actually, before I would go, I would actually like to show a small book on Tattva Bodha. This is Tattva Bodha book published by the Chinmaya Mission Trust. This is a very small book. This may be available in Chinmaya centers. So if you would like to get this textbook, it will be useful, because we may be following all the shlokas, and they are all in prose form actually. They are given in this with also some meaning and some discussion, which will be very handy. So this is Tattva Bodha, probably of Shankaracharya, published by Central Chinmaya Mission Trust. Books may be available perhaps in the Chinmaya Central Library here and other places also. And earlier, long ago, I also wrote articles on Tattva Bodha in our foundation's journal called Paramartha Tattvam, which are available in our website svbf.org, www.svbf.org, volume number 3, issue number 2 onwards, up to volume number 5, issue number 3 and 4. So on all those volumes, I have given a discussion on the entire Tathvabodha text that may come in handy. If you can have a printout of that, that may be handy. When we read the shlokas, you may be able to follow them. So now this Dhyana shloka or the Mangala shloka that the Acharya wants to write here, he says, Natva Jnana Pradam Gurum. Natva, Natva means prostration. Namanam, Natihi, prostrations. Now, Natva, having offered the prostrations, whom do I prostrate now? Vasudevendra Yogindram. That is what the Acharya, to whom he is prostrating. Here, Vasudeva Krishna, Lord Krishna. Yogihi, Yogi is a wise person, is a seer, is a jnani, that is a yogi. And Indraha, this is a suffix added to yogi, Yogendra. So Yogendra, the Indra refers to the greatest person. For example, if you take Gajendra, he is the greatest among Gajas, among the elephants. Rajendra, he is the greatest among all the kings. Rajendra. So any word, and if you add the suffix Indra to that, that becomes the greatest in that category. So Rajendra, Gajendra, this is Yogendra. And Jnana Pradam Gurum, Guruhu, Guruhu, Guruhu is what? Grinati, Upadishati, Iti Guruhu. Guru means to teach. Guruhu is the teacher, is the initiator. And what he teaches? Jnanam. Jnanam is knowledge. And this knowledge is not any other knowledge like chemistry knowledge or physics knowledge. This is self-knowledge. Atma Ananda. Atma Jnanam is what this Acharya is teaching. So, Atma Jnana Pradam Gurum. Jnana Pradam Gurum. Natva Jnana Pradam Gurum. This is Natva. Atma Jnana Pradam Gurum. Having prostrated to that Guru who is offering this self-knowledge. And now we have to also understand, why do we prostrate to the Guru? Of course, there are two reasons. One is Guru is supposed to be the, you know, we know this Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwaraha. So he is the personification of the very Lord himself. So we are offering our prostrations to the Guru who gives us knowledge. So we are doing from that respect point of view. And in addition, when you do prostration to the Guru, before we start learning anything, the very teacher and the teaching both are remembered. So by law of association with the teacher who taught us and the teaching that he gave us, then our knowledge becomes even more firm because we associate the context with which so many concepts were taught to us and the entire thing comes into the mind, so that gives us a firmer knowledge. So this Acharya here, he is now doing prostration to his guru, namely Govinda Bhagavadpada. So this is Govinda, Govinda Bhagavadpada. He is doing namaskaram to him. And what is my undertaking? The Acharya very explicitly says here in the Dhyana Shloka itself, Tattva Bodha Abhidhiyate. Tattva Bodha, here Tattva Bodha, Tattvam is truth. Tattva Bodha is self-knowledge. Tattvam, the word Tattvam refers to truth. Truth of what? Truth of myself. Atmanaha Tattvam. I am trying to talk about the truth of myself, the self. Atma Tattvam Tasya Bodha. That is Tattva Bodha. Atma Tattvam Tasya Bodha. And what is the present knowledge of myself? What do I think of myself now? I think of myself as a person who is a samsari, who is having sorrow all the time, who is in misery, who is going through all the problems of life in day-to-day life. All those things, that's what I am thinking. So I am thinking of a person as myself who is going through so much of struggles, so much of problems in life. But what the scriptures say? The scriptures tell us your happiness does not depend on any external condition whatsoever. The present self-knowledge that you have has to be replaced by the true self-knowledge. That's what scriptures tell us. For whom I take this understanding? Acharya again writes this, Mumukshunam Hidarthaya. Mumukshunam Hidarthaya. Hidarthaya means for the welfare of, for the benefit of. Hitaha means benefit. Arthaya, for the benefit of. Mumukshunam. Mumukshu, actually it is a technical word which Acharya is going to discuss later. They are all the spiritual seekers of liberation. They are all seekers of liberation. They are called Mumukshus. So here, what the Acharya is going to tell is for the sake of those people who are the seekers of spiritual liberation. For those people, he is writing this book. He is writing this text for their sake. So the author prostrates and he introduced the purpose ఆల్సో ఇన్ దిస్ మంగళ శ్లోక. సో దిస్ ఈస్ ఎ ధ్యాన శ్లోక, మంగళ శ్లోక, ప్రేయింగ్ ఫార్ ఆల్ ది ఆబ్స్టకల్స్ టు బి రిమూవ్ అండ్ ఆల్సో ప్రే టు ది ఆఫరింగ్ ప్రాస్టేషన్స్ టు హిస్ గురు అండ్ ఆల్సో టు లార్డ్ నారాయణ అండ్ హీ ఇంట్రడ్యూసెస్ ది పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ రైటింగ్ దిస్ బుక్. దిస్ ఈస్ రిటన్ ఎసెన్షియలీ ఫార్ ది సేక్ ఆఫ్ ముముక్షోస్, ది సీక్వెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద ట్రూత్. ఓకే, సో ఇఫ్ యూ కెన్ జస్ట్ ఓన్లీ ట్రాన్స్లేట్ ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ ది శ్లోక. Having prostrated Sri Vasudeva, the greatest of yogis, the guru who is the bestower of jnana, jnana pradam gurum, the knowledge of the truth, the tattva bodha is expounded, abhidiyate means expounded for the benefit of the seekers of liberation. So now we have understood the purpose for which this is written, this book is written by the acharya. Now having given this understanding about why he is writing the book and for whom he is writing the book, now we can go into the first shloka in the text itself. Sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam moksha sadhana bhutam tattva veka prakaram pakshyamaha. So the fundamental informations on any text when we write, it is customary to give what is known as this Anubandha Chatushtayam. Anubandha Chatushtayam means, Chatushtayam means fourfold information. This is like an index. What is it that we want to write? That is what has to be explained first. First, it should be the subject. Subject should be conveyed by the title itself mostly. Subject matter is called Vishayaha. So what is the subject matter here? Tattva Bodha is the Vishaya. Sattva Bodha is the text, that is the title. And second, who is eligible to learn this text? Who are qualified, who are entitled to learn this text? That has to be also explained. Because if you give a text to a person who is not qualified to learn this, then that person will not make any sense out of it. It will be a waste of time. So it also explains who is the qualified person to learn this, the Adhikari. It's called, first is Vishayaha, the subject matter. The second one is the Adhikari, the eligible. And having told who is eligible, the author also has to tell what is the benefit of this study. Unless I know what is the benefit, what is the prayojanam of this study, I will not be motivated to learn that. So the prayojanam or the benefit, that has to be explained. And once that is explained, one should also tell what is the relationship between the knowledge and the benefit. That sambandha also has to be explained. So, vishayam prayojanayoho madhye sambandha. So, all these four things, that is the subject matter, the who is eligible, the benefit of the study, and the relationship between the knowledge and the benefit. For example, in some cases, knowledge alone cannot give the benefit. For example, we may all have knowledge of cooking. We may all know how to cook. We may all say so many things. Unless real cooking is done, there is no benefit. We may all know the knowledge of so many cities. We can describe so many things about Banaras, about so many other places. We might have learned it from books. But unless one undertakes a journey to those places and really experience them, there is no benefit of that knowledge also in real-time experience. This is one case. In some other cases, knowledge gives the benefit directly, just by knowing the knowledge it gives. For example, if I lost my key and the key is in my pocket, I never knew it was in the pocket for a long time. I was searching for it all over the place. The moment I know that the key is in my pocket, the benefit is immediately available. So just the mere knowledge of knowing the key is in the pocket, I have got the benefit. So that is the other case. For example, in dream, we may dream so many things. And the moment we wake up, we understand they are all dream. So we don't have to do anything else further. Just only one has to wake up from the dream. Waking up is like gaining that knowledge. So once that is done, the benefit is immediately available. So Vedanta tells us, you need not work for bliss at all. You don't have to work for happiness at all. You are that yourself. That's what Vedanta tells us, and that is what we have to understand. And to understand that only, we have to go through so many intricate concepts, so many terms, so many other ideas, so that the knowledge that we will gain through that will be a firm knowledge, will be a knowledge which will be without any doubts, which will be firm, and one will try to become that nature itself and understand that nature as such. So what is the subject here? Tattva Viveka Prakaram Pakshyamaha. The method of Tattva Viveka. Pakshyamaha means we will teach. The author says we will teach Tattva Viveka Prakaram, the method of Tattva Viveka. So now we have to understand all these terms. We have said Tattva, Viveka, so many terms we are using. We have to understand all those terms. Acharya will explain each and every one of these terms now. So Atma, Tattvam, the Tattvam refers to the true nature. Atma Tattvam refers to the true nature of oneself. What is my nature? We told the nature of water is to be cold. The nature of fire is to be hot. What is my nature? And that is what is being explained. Vivekaha. Vivekaha. Tattva Vivekaha. So Tattva refers to the true nature. And Viveka refers to the clear knowledge, the discriminative knowledge of what is eternal, what is ephemeral, what is truth, what is untruth, what is permanent, what is temporary or impermanent. So this knowledge. So Tattva Bodha means Atma Tattva Vivekaha. It is not anything else. It is about Atma Tattva, the true knowledge about oneself. So the Vishayaha is what? Tattva Viveka is, that is the subject matter. Tattva Viveka is the subject matter Vishaya. Now, when we talk about this means of liberation, Moksha Sadhana Bhutam, that is what the sloka says. The sloka says, Sadhana Chaturshtake Sampannadikarinam Moksha Sadhana Bhutam. Moksha Sadhanam. Moksha is liberation, freedom from this cycle of birth and death. And this is the sadhana. Sadhana is the means. It's the aid. So sadhanam, sadhyate anena iti sadhanam. With which you attain the goal. Sadhya. Sadhya means the goal. With which you attain the goal. So that is sadhya. So for example, the eyes, they are the sadhanam for seeing. Ears are the means through which you hear things. So for every one of those goals, we have got a method, an instrument that is a means or an aid. So self-knowledge is a sadhana for getting moksha. As we have eyes as the sadhana for seeing, here self-knowledge is the sadhana for getting moksha. That is what the Acharya is trying to imply here. So prayojanam is what? The benefit of self-knowledge, that is prayojanam, is moksha. That is the ultimate goal. So the knowledge, the benefit of this knowledge is moksha, which is the ultimate goal. So what is freedom or liberation? And when we say freedom or liberation, freedom from what? That is what we should understand. Freedom from dependency on external things for gaining bliss or ananda or happiness. I do not want to depend on any external condition for gaining my happiness. That is the intent, and that is what we call it as freedom. Freedom from the dependency on any external condition. I myself am Ananda Swarupaha Asmi. I am of the nature of happiness. I do not depend on any external condition for my happiness. And that is the prayojanam. That is the knowledge. So moksha is the goal. That is what I want to gain. And the qualification, who is the eligible, the adhikari? Who is the patram for this knowledge? Who is eligible for this knowledge? For the one who is sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. The one who is endowed with, sampannaha, one who is endowed with, who is rich in the knowledge, this fourfold knowledge, fourfold things called sadhana chatushtaya. So that person, the following fourfold qualifications, that person alone is eligible. So the one who fulfills the fourfold qualifications which we are going to see next, such a person only is an adhikari for this knowledge. So that is why Acharya very, very categorically told already what is the subject matter being talked about and who is the person who is eligible, what is the benefit, and what is the relationship between this knowledge and the benefit. That has been explained very clearly in these two lines. So now, having read this, if I am interested in pursuing this, I will. If I am not, I think this is not for me, so I may come to it later. People might make a decision based on whether they want to continue this study or not, based on the initial statement by the Acharya himself. He is told to whom it is useful and what is the subject matter covered and all that. Now, he told in the previous sloka, the person who is eligible should be a sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. The person who is endowed with the fourfold qualifications. That's what he told earlier. Only such a person can be eligible for learning this knowledge, having this knowledge. So now naturally our question will be, sadhana chatushtayam kim? What do we mean by the fourfold qualifications? The entire Tattvabodha is in the form of a hypothetical question-answer session between the teacher and the students. So that is why the way Acharya has structured this is in the form of a question-answer. For example, he is now asking, sadhana chatushtayam kim? What do you mean by this sadhana chatushtaya? And we will just read the shloka, and every word in the shloka, Acharya will explain. Nitya nitya vastu vivekaha, iha mutrartha phala bhoga viragaha, shamadi shatka sampattihi, mumukshutvam cheti. So he has given four items here, and each one of them, they are called the sadhana chatushtaya. We have to explain each one of them. So the first one is what? Nitya anitya vastu vivekaha. Nitya nitya vastu vivekaha. That is the first qualification. The adhikari, the eligible person, should have this first qualification, namely nitya anitya vastu vivekaha. Vivekaha means the discrimination, the discriminative knowledge between the nitya, the eternal, and anitya, the ephemeral, the permanent and impermanent. He should have the clear knowledge about the difference between these two. This discriminative knowledge he should have. And the second one, iha amutra artha phala bhoga viragaha. Viragaha means vairagyam or dispassion. Dispassion towards or detachment from. What are those items? Iha. Iha means here, in this world itself, in this life itself. And amutra, in the other world. After one passes away, whatever a person, the stage he attains. So iha, in this world, in this life. And amutra, in the life hereafter. And artha, artha means sense objects. So sense pleasures of this world and the world hereafter. Phala, phala is the karma phalam, the result of our action. And bhoga, bhoga is the pleasures. The pleasures arising out of the benefit of our actions in this world and hereafter, and based on all the sense objects. And viragaha, dispassion towards all of them. So detachment from the results of our action in the form of pleasures in this world and in the world hereafter. That is called vairagya. So second qualification for a person should have what? Is to have vairagya or dispassion. So first viveka, the discriminative knowledge. Second is vairagya, dispassion towards the result of our action, the karma phala. And the third one is a group of six qualifications separately called Shamadi Shatka Sampattihi or Shatka Sampatti. Shatka Shat means six. Shatka Sampatti means sixfold inner values. Sixfold inner values are called Shatka Sampattihi. So a list of six subsidiary qualifications are given. So among the four qualifications, Sadhana Chatushtaya, the third one itself is a group of six subsidiary qualifications, and we will see each one of them, and it says Shamadi. So with Shama and Shamadi, Shama, Dama, Uparama, so many things we are going to see. So Shama and the other, all the others, all the things put together, the sixfold subsidiary qualifications one should have. And the fourth qualification is Mumukshutvam. Mumukshutva means the Tivra Iccha, the burning desire, the craving desire that I have to gain freedom. I have to gain freedom, that Tivra Iccha. Actually, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa used to say, somebody went to him and asked him, everybody tells me that you have seen Kali. then can you show, call you to me, I want to see her. Then Ramakrishna said, no problem, I can show you, no problem, because you are so interested. So he said, next morning, tomorrow morning, you have to come 5 o'clock. We both have to go to Ganges. We'll take a bath and then I can show Kali. So next day morning, he came very sincerely. Both of them went to Ganges and then they got into the water. They got into waist deep and then up to neck deep and even more. And the Acharya held his head and pressed him down deep into the water. 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, 40 seconds. This guy, he is pressing him so much down. This guy came out with so much of force and said, I thought you are going to show me Kali, but you instead you plan to now send me directly to Kali. So I don't think I am going to take this Kali at all. So I don't want to see her. Then Ramakrishna told him, you know with what force you came out. If you have that much of craving desire, that much of a drive, I don't want anything else except this. I am not going to be interested in anything else. If you have got that much of that craving desire, then you can see Kali, not otherwise. So for a person to be liberated, the ichcha, the drive, the motivation should be so much, that tivra ichcha, that is called mumukshutva. One has to have definitely this. So whether you can have viveka, vairagya, shamadhi, shatka sampati, all those things can be there. But if this desire is not there, they are all useless. One cannot get liberation. So all these fourfold qualifications are needed. So here Acharya, he has only listed what are the fourfold qualifications, whereas he is not telling us how to gain each one of them. He is only telling us what is required. He is not telling us how one should get them. For that, people have to use so many other means. For example, the entire Bhagavad Gita teaches so many methods by which one has to gain many of these things. So Acharya doesn't talk about those things here. He only lists what are required. Now, we have told so many words here. Now, we have to explain each one of the words. Vivekaha. Nitya nitya vastu vivekaha kaha. That is the first question. Kaha means what? What is meant by nitya anitya vastu vivekaha? The discriminative knowledge between what is eternal and what is ephemeral. What is permanent and what is impermanent. So Acharya gives the answer. Nitya vastu ekam brahma. Tat vyatiriktam sarvam anityam. Ayameva nitya anitya vastu vivekaha. He has given it as a beautiful definition here. So nitya vastu ekam brahma. In the whole creation, the only eternal vastu known is Brahman and nothing else. We have to understand what Brahman is next. So he said, in the whole creation, the only permanent vastu is Brahman only and nothing else. Brahman. Brahman means the infinite. Brah means the biggest. So Vrittamaha. Vrittamam is Brahman. The one which is the greatest, which is the biggest, that is Brahman. Tad vyatiriktam. Tad means that. Vyatiriktam, other than that, everything other than Brahman is anityam. Anityam means impermanent. They are all perishable. They don't have a true existence. They are all perishable. Ayameva, this discriminative knowledge alone. Ayameva means this discriminative knowledge alone is called vivekaha. So this discriminative knowledge that Brahman alone is truth, all others are not truth, that knowledge is called viveka. So actually in Vedas, Vedic scriptures, the first portion of the Vedas, we call it the Veda Purvabhaga. Purvabhaga is the first one that enables a person to become the adhikari, to gain the qualification through so many rituals, so many practices, so many upasanas. Using all of them, one may be able to get the purity of the mind and also the focus of the mind. One may be able to get all of them. Whereas the second part of the Vedas, the Vedanta Bhaga, that gives the actual self-knowledge portion, that deals with the self-knowledge portion. Whereas Bhagavad Gita deals with both of them in one entire text. It is all over the various ways for a person to get the purity of the mind, how to get the purity, the focus of the mind, and also how to attain self-knowledge. All those things are all given in Bhagavad Gita together. So Gita has got Karma Yoga. That is the method of acquiring this qualification, the entire Karma Yoga. It is a method of acquiring this qualification. And how Karma Yoga helps a person, it gives the Viveka Shakti. Actually, that is natural actually to human beings. But this can function only when the mind is quiet and not in a stifled condition. So unless the mind is quiet, Viveka Shakti will not be working for him. So Karma Yoga is a technique by which the mind can be made to be calm and in spite of the busyness in the activities of life. So in the midst of so many activities of life, how one can keep the mind under control, under calmness, that is all taught about in the Karma Yoga. So many things are already given, but those methods are given here in Tattva Bodha, they are given in Bhagavad Gita and so many other texts. So then the person, he understands the impermanence, the temporary nature of everything, the anityam, he understands. And why anityam? Why we call it anityam? Why we call them impermanent? Because it is a product acquired in time. So any product that a person acquires in time has to be finite, has to be gone after some time. What is acquired has to go away after some time. So also if one gains heaven also, for example, somebody gains heaven, don't mistake heaven with moksha. Moksha is different, heaven is different. If a person gains heaven also, since that also is an acquired status, heaven also is an acquired status, after some time that also will go away. Bhagavad Gita very clearly says, Kshine punyem martyalokam vishanti. After the punya bank balance is exhausted, even explain that to me. But he will not give anything himself. Whatever is given in the scriptures only he will give. He might try to explain it with his own examples. Based on circumstances, based on time, space, all that he may be able to tailor them. But he will give only what the scriptures gives. So if one takes the knowledge, any idea or any knowledge that can be derived from really divided into two categories, for example, a knowledge that is gained through the sense organs. A sense organs means through our own logic, our own mathematics, our own perception, our own reasoning. So we can gain knowledge through any of these means. And these things are called Paurusheya Vishayaha. Paurusheya Vishayaha means these are all worldly knowledge. These are all knowledge which are coming out of human efforts and human instruments of perception and cognition. So knowledge through human instrument, they are called Paurusheya Pramana. So if there are doubts in them, they also can be verified using human instruments, Paurusheya Pramana. Because this is the knowledge gained by Paurusheya Pramana. If there is any doubt or any verification has to be done, that can be done using the human instruments itself. Whereas, when it comes to knowledge of the self knowledge, Atmajnanam, then there is a peculiar problem here. Because the peculiar problem is what? You yourself can become the object of your own observation. For example, if I have to observe myself, I have to be my object. So when I the subject, how I can be the object of myself to observe myself? For example, if you see your eyes, you can see everything with your eyes. But can you see your own eyes with your eyes unless you have a mirror? Very difficult. So here also, this subject, you the subject, if I want to analyze myself, I the subject, I cannot objectify myself to analyze myself as the subject. So if self is put in front of for an observation, then there will be no one to observe. Not even to get data, never available through any Paurusheya Pramana at all. So human consciousness will be an eternal mystery. Why? Who will observe it? Nobody can observe it. My consciousness, nobody can observe. Only I have to observe. It will be eternally a mystery. So it is called Apaurusheya Vishayaha. The other things were called Paurusheya Vishayaha. This is called Apaurusheya Vishayaha, not of human origin. They are beyond the human senses. So we need Apaurusheya Pramana. As you have for Paurusheya Vishayaha, Paurusheya Pramana for the human-made thing, man-made thing, you have got man-made instruments. Here, these are all not human-made. You need Apaurusheya Pramana those instruments which are also not man-made, human-made. So for worldly knowledge, we need faith in something. For example, a standard. If I want to measure the length of something, then if we say in inch, that inch has a standard. What is meant by an inch? That is a standard. And we have to have faith in that standard to measure something, some length. So for any human knowledge, for any Paurushaya Vishayaka, or in the worldly sense, we always have a standard, and through that standard, we measure as a standard. For Apurushaya Vishayaka, the pramanam for that, even for the human, the instrument which are worldly things, we have a standard. For the Apurushaya Vishayaka, the pramanam, the standard is the Vedas. Vedas are the scriptures, are the pramanam. So Paurushaya Jnanam, Paurushaya Pramanaha, Apurushaya Jnanam, Apurushaya Pramanaha. So scriptures are the instruments. They are the pramanam for knowing things beyond human scope. Things beyond human scope means what? What cannot be cognized, what cannot be perceived by the human senses. And any knowledge that way requires faith. So for Paurushaya Jnanam, we need faith in Paurushaya Pramanam. And for Apurushaya Jnanam, we need faith in Apurushaya Pramanam, namely scriptures or the Vedas. So self-knowledge belongs to the category of Apurushaya Jnanam. It doesn't come under the category of the worldly knowledge. It comes, self-knowledge comes in the Apurushaya category. So that has to be understood means we need a guru who knows the scriptures. That is why faith here is defined as Guru Vedanta Vakyadishu Shraddha, Vishwasaha Shraddha. So Vedantaha means, you know, the Vedanta, the faith in the words of the teacher who teaches Vedanta. Also indicated here, Guru Vedanta Vakyadishu. So that means one should not say, I can start reading Vedanta by buying a book and learning it myself. One has to learn Vedanta through a guru. So it is called Guru Vedanta Vakyadishu. One cannot just say, I will buy a book from the store and start reading Vedanta, because there are a lot of elements, intricacies in the Vedantic learning that may not be properly explained in those texts. So one has to have a guru to teach those concepts, learn from a teacher only. So it should be a learning through a teacher-student, that kind of a setup. And now we said faith. How to get faith? That is, faith is again is gathered by association only. Long association with the scriptures, long association with the guru. That is why everything in our scriptures, whatever ritual, whatever puja, whatever thing anybody starts, they all start with a Veda mantra. Some Vedic recitation is done. So whether it is Jada Karma, it is, you know, the moment a child is born, any ritual done at that time, till Antyayashti, till a person is cremated, every ritual, every stage in life, they are all started with Veda mantras only, because we want to remain ourselves to be in the association of scriptures throughout the life. Because they are the pramanas, they are the ones they talk about, this Apaurushaya Vishayam, which is beyond the human cognition. Okay. So Paurushaya Vishaya and Apaurushaya Vishaya, we have understood when it comes to this knowledge. And what is this faith in terms of Apaurushaya Vishaya? And the sixth and the final qualification is Samadhanam Kim. What is meant by Samadhanam? Samadhanam means our Samadhi. We are familiar with the word Samadhi, Samadhanam. Samadhanam here is defined as Chitta Ekagrata. Chitta here refers to mind. And Ekagrata is the one-pointed focus of the mind. The mind, we are going to see the nature of mind later. Sankalpa Vikalpatmakam Manaha. The nature of mind is to vacillate. Always will be oscillating. Whether to do this or not to do this. Always this goes through this thing. So Chitta Ekagrata is the one-pointedness. Ekam Agre Yasyashaha Ekagrata. So this is like, you know, this is Samadhi means, actually Samadhi means absorption. The entire Yoga Shastra, Patanjali, Ashtanga Yoga, Yama, Niyama, all those various things in the yoga, they are all meant for Chitta Samadhanam, the focus of the mind. The entire personality is disciplined by yoga. Ashtanga Yoga disciplines the entire personality. And the, all the chapters of Bhagavad Gita, they are all called yoga only. So they are meant towards samadhanam. So these are the sixfold qualifications, subsidiary qualification. So Viveka, Vairagya, Samadhi, Shatka Sampattihi. And the last one is Mumukshutvam. I will conclude after just briefly telling what is the fourth main qualification that is called Mumukshutvam. Mumukshutvam kim? Mokshome bhuyat iti icha. So that is Mumukshutvam. And Acharya is going to explain Yetatim Sadhana Chatushtayam. Acharya is now concluding that discussion with that statement. So Tataha Tattva Viveka Tattva Vivekasya Adhikarino Bhavanti. So Acharya is concluding that section. We will also conclude today with that, just explaining only these four lines. Moksho me bhuyat. Let me be a free person. Iti icha, that desire, that tivra icha that I told earlier, that craving desire. That I want to gain liberation. I want to be liberated. I want to be a free person. I don't want to be dependent on any external condition for my happiness. I am Ananda Swarupaha. I am of the nature of happiness myself. But what is our problem? Our problem is what? We are always dependent on external conditions for happiness. A sincere desire to be independent. The more you desire, more will be the craving. So that is how the desire should be so much intense. So the craving will be so much. So it is unfructified desire is called sankalpa. Yeah, desire which is not fulfilled. It's called sankalpa. So one does not work towards them. Whereas fructified desire, it is kama. One works towards that. And moksha is instead of being a casual desire, it should become like, you know, it becomes from a sankalpa to kama. Sankalpa, as I told, is what? Is one does is only sankalpa. I like this. That's it. He doesn't work for it. But if that sankalpa has to become kama, then the person has to work towards it. How to gain that? He has to work towards them. He has to maybe make money or whatever it is to gain that object. So that is kama. One has to work through them. So this moksha, the icha towards moksha, should not be just only a sankalpa. It should become a tivra icha. It should be a kama for a person. That should be the desire. That is the only justified desire. So, moksho me bhuyat iti icha. Etate sadhana chatushtayam. These four are called sadhana chatushtayam. Namely, discrimination viveka, dispassion vairagya, shamadhi shatka sampattihi, the inner wealth of values and desire. Desire for freedom. So, once the person becomes qualified, he becomes an adhikari, he does not need other things like bhakti yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Karma Yoga, any of those things are not required at all anymore. He is already qualified since they are only making a person an adhikari. So once a person has become an adhikari, all those things are not needed because he is already an adhikari. He can go to Jnana Marga right then and there. So in Tattva Bodha, no puja, etc. will be prescribed here. The entire Tathubodha test, one should not be looking for whether they will be describing this puja, that Sahasranama. None of those things will be here. Entire topic is about Vedanta because this is for an adhikari, for a person who is already eligible, who has gone through all those things to become eligible. Tataha Tattva Vivekasya Adhikarino Bhavanti. So such a person, this is called about the adhikari. So now what is to be explained now? Tattva Viveka Prakaram Vakshyamaha. What is Tattva Viveka? That has to be explained. That we will see in the next class. So up to this, the fourfold qualifications have been already given. The person who is eligible, who is the adhikari to go into this text is already given. So we are going to talk about what is Tattva Viveka in the next class. Are there any questions?